Bob Jackson is a gracious host, but is at first reluctant to showcase his workshop.
My Chamber of Horrors, you wish me to speak of.
What did I learn today?
You learned? Dale Sr. made Dale Jr. get a job pumping gas for several months to pay for a speeding ticket.
Old machines line the shelves, waiting to be repaired. Tubes and wires mingle on the desk.
Former Ranger Great Mark Messier tomorrow.
Well, what I'm doing is going near it there. Now, let's go down.
He's embarrassed at what he thinks is a mess. It's really more of a den than a mad scientist's dungeon. He shows me a radio he's currently working on. The wood panel is removed and wires spring out in every direction.
This is a pre-war Hallicrafters communication radio. Unfortunately, a family of mice decided that they would make a home in it. They did, and they ate the insulation off a lot of the wires, and they found that the old-fashioned wax tubular capacitors were delicious.
Bob's been repairing radios since before the television was invented. He was an engineer in Detroit back when that was something to brag about. When World War II broke out, he was working with a firm and was taking night classes. He was preparing to devote his expertise to his country when the Army stepped in.
And just closed the schools down and took away our slide rules and handed us rifles and said, y'all now in the infantry.
He was thrown into boot camp and immediately showed a lack of a knack for it. He'd fired rifles at home, but they soon moved on to weapons of a much higher caliber. He was training to fire mortar shells.
And wound up blowing up a mess hall. And that was really a mess.
Meanwhile, the Army was looking for someone who could run movie projectors. They pulled up Bob's file and found that he had worked for a company called Motion Pictures Engineering. Oddly enough, he hadn't touched anything to do with motion pictures at Motion Pictures Engineering, but it was good enough for his superiors. Bob was ordered to pack up for the European invasion.
Then it was my job, in between combat missions, to load up this film, get the projector going, drape bed sheets over the side of a truck, find a hillside, and set up theater.
Luckily for Bob, he already knew the basics of a projector and was familiar with the components needed to make it run. But his equipment kept breaking, and they couldn't get any more shit from home. With no other options, Bob had to go into abandoned homes to take people's radio sets.
Now, the word take has to be taken carefully. We did not take those. We liberated them. Well, that's not quite true either. Speaking for myself, I did take several radios. But the fact of the matter was that in many cases, these people would never get back to these homes. I couldn't use them as such because Hitler, in his infinite wisdom, had ordained that people were not allowed to have radios capable of receiving broadcasts from anywhere outside of Germany. But the electronic guts were still there. And so we did what we had to do.
Once the war ended, Bob was shipped home and lived a relatively quiet life before retiring. Yet, he never stopped tinkering with the old tools of his trade, even as the advance of technology marched right by.
So why do you still fix these things?
Why
do you still fix these radios?
Now, I don't think you'd romance a historic refrigerator in the same sense that you might a radio. It's the theater of the mind, a man said. That was the man that said, Bob, you gotta go see what Music House is all about.
It's a museum about 20 minutes away from Bob's workshop, and it's mainly devoted to antique musical instruments. Bob took the tour and noticed that there was a small stack of old radios gathering dust in one corner. He asked why they weren't being played, too. The tour guide went and got David Stifler, the curator.
David came along and said, well, Bob, the reason that we haven't played any is that they don't work. We have absolutely no idea who could do anything to repair them. Well, very bravely, I stood up erect in front of David and said proudly, I could do that.
Back in his chamber of horrors, Bob Jackson is still at work on the radio set. He's been helping the museum for 20 years. At 90 years old, fixing these radios is one of the only things left that he can do. At 90 years old, he's one of the only people left who still can.
And so that's about the story of what this room is about.
For Interlochen Public Radio, I'm Chris Hattelsey.